Father God in heaven, just thank you for today, Lord. Humble myself before you. Lord, I preach to myself, Lord God, this message, God. I just pray, Lord, this morning, God, that you do what your will desires, God, that your name be glorified in this place, God. Lord, may lives be changed, Lord Jesus, and may, yes, Lord, may you just be glorified, Lord, in this place. So come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you, we invite you in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, good morning. This morning, I'd like to speak on just a few verses from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17 to verse 18. The book of Habakkuk, the chapter, verse 17 to verse 18. Habakkuk is located just towards the end of the Old Testament, just before the book of Zephaniah. But anyway, Habakkuk 3, verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the field yields no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The message that I would like to speak about today is something from Habakkuk 3. I would call it, actually, It Is Well With My Soul. But I really want to address the question, what happens when life fails? And I preach this to myself because I know that I have definitely not attained this. And I'm so far from being able to be content in this state. But as the Apostle Paul says, we press on towards the goal. And this message was actually born out of some experiences over the last few months. In fact, I think I'm still going through this situation now. But hopefully my mental, emotional, and spiritual state is a little bit better. But over the last few months, I was struggling with something great in my life. I felt that my life was failing. And it got me to a point of much discouragement. Even once, I said that I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to serve God anymore. I don't even want to do anything. And like Jonah and Elijah, I just said, God, I just want to give up, right? So, but what happens when life fails? So I love this passage from Habakkuk, and actually the book of Habakkuk in general. In it, the prophet Habakkuk asked God serious questions. As to why is the wicked flourishing and injustice flourishing and God does not take any action? And we also know that Habakkuk actually ultimately deals with the concept of faith. In fact, it is in this book that we get the very famous verse, "The just shall live by his faith," there in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And as we saw in the passage that we just read, that song or that passage is actually known as the hymn of faith as well. But let's answer the question as to what happens when life fails. I can throw some cliches out. We can say that we can trust God, we must have faith in God. And which is true, and Habakkuk actually deals with that. But what happens when we're so weak that we can't trust God and our faith is actually failing? And what happens if we feel that we don't have the strength to actually go on? So here we see that the prophet was actually describing a pretty dire situation where everything is failing. There's no food in the fields, no figs, no vines, no olive oil. We pretty much have lost everything. And I will be very honest with everyone this morning. I don't have a magical answer, and I do not purport to have the solution to your problems. But the only answer that I have, and I think that I'm convinced now, is the bottom line. So there in Habakkuk 3, our default when everything is stripped away and everything is gone, there's only one thing that we can fall back on, and that's the default, that we have our salvation. It is well with our souls. So notice how here the prophet says, when everything fails, I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. So I only have one point in my message today, just one simple point, which I believe actually goes down to the very core of our existence here on earth. And this point is just as follows. Point one, at the end of the day, the only thing that matters in this life is whether you make it to heaven or not. So it sounds like a very simple and straightforward point, but I think that sometimes we get bogged down too much in this world, and we maybe perhaps miss sight of the fact. I was reading the book of Isaiah the other day and happened to stumble across this verse in the New Heavens and the New Earth chapter. Isaiah 65, verse 17. We can turn there for a few moments. Isaiah 65:17 says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." So what struck me there was that God says the former shall not be remembered. So it seems to me that once we are in the new heaven and the new earth, that everything on this journey on earth will not be remembered. We will not even care about what happened. Indeed, it will not even come to mind. So in light of that, our troubles, our achievements, our great experiences, the yummy dinner meal that we ate, our bank accounts, our jobs, education, everything just in all our pursuits just seem to fade away into eternity. So let's turn back again to the book of Habakkuk. In chapter 2, verse 13 and verse 14. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 13 and verse 14. Now it says there, "Behold, is it not the Lord of hosts that the people labor to feed the fire, and nations weary themselves in vain? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." So here the prophet is also saying, the people are laboring to feed the fire, and nations are doing a lot of its work in vain, because there will come a day where God is gloriously revealed, and everyone on earth will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And once that happens, all the nations and all the people will just realize that everything they have done, everything they've strived for, will be in vain, because the fire of God will consume up all the works that have no eternal value, and it will seem all like a waste of time. So I've been reflecting on all these points. So perhaps I'm just wasting my time with a lot of my earthly pursuits, because they will all count for nothing in eternity. And so why do I worry so much about my time on earth? Because one day, when God creates the new heaven and the new earth, everything on this earth will be forgotten. And more likely than not, a lot of the things that I'm doing today will just be feeding the fire in eternity that will just burn it up. So perhaps we need to have a more eternal view here and build for eternity instead of being solely focused on the now. And so like Abraham and all the saints of faith in Hebrews 11, they just acknowledge that they are pilgrims here on earth, and they look forward to the heavenly city whose maker is God. Now I want to turn back to this topic of salvation. As Habakkuk says, "I'll rejoice in the Lord of my salvation." Indeed, Jesus made this very important point in the Gospels. In Luke chapter 10, when his disciples went out and were healing the sick and casting out demons, and they came back to Jesus and they told Jesus, "Wow, even the spirits, even the demons were subject to us in your name." But Jesus said something very important. He said, "Do not rejoice in the fact that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven." And in the Gospels, Jesus also said, "What profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul?" And if we reflect on this, it's actually quite true. How many great rich men do we know that have died without knowing Christ? And how many great world leaders today are in hell? And how many people whose praises that we sing to today as being great men of achievement on this earth, who are now suffering in eternal regret because they do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? There was a famous great Asian leader that passed away last year. And I've seen many accolades from world leaders for this great man. Even some of my fellow friends on Facebook, they're writing great accolades, great praises for the achievements of this man. And indeed, he was great in his time. He's accomplished many things. But the sad fact, as far as I know, he did not accept Jesus as his personal savior. And even said that he was so confident in his own abilities. He said that insofar as facing heaven or hell, he was ready. But how foolish and how futile. And I cannot imagine the scene when he meets the Lord. And he will say, and he will realize that all his achievements on earth were in vain. And in light of all eternity, they would just fade into nothing. But for us Christians, let us rejoice because our name is written in heaven. And praise God for the born-again Christian that it is well with our souls. So what does salvation cost God? Well, we know the story that Jesus had to come down onto earth. He had to suffer and die on the cross for our sins. But something that we seldom mention is that God the Father also has to live with seeing the scarred wounds of his beloved Son forever. Why? Because we know that even after Jesus resurrected, his body was still carrying the scars of his crucifixion. And we also see in the book of Zechariah, when Jesus comes back again the second time to actually save Israel and to save the world, The Jews would see the wounds of Jesus' body and they realized that they had crucified him 2,000 years ago and he rejected him when he first came. So I'd like to give you an example from the Bible, from someone who thought that he had failed. And he is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now you see, Jesus is not someone who you typically would associate with failure, and perhaps it's not often seen a lot in the Gospels. But we know, actually I know that Jesus felt discouragement, and he felt that he had failed, and he did not accomplish anything. So let us turn back again to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 3. I love the book of Isaiah because it talks a lot of time about Jesus and actually reveals the secret prayers of Jesus, what happened behind the scenes that are not necessarily recorded in the gospel. But as I read from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 3, "And he said to me, 'You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified.'" Then verse 4, "Then I said," which is Jesus, "Jesus said, 'I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord and my work is with my God.'" Verse 5, "And now the Lord says, 'Who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, it is too small thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth.'" I read again from verse 4. "Then Jesus said, 'I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain.'" You see, from the passage that we just read, it just gives you a glimpse of how Jesus actually felt sometimes, probably during his earthly ministry. So Jesus felt like he failed and he labored in vain. And you see, his primary mission here on earth was to restore Israel back to God. But then we know that it was all futile, so to speak, because nothing has really changed in Israel. Nothing changed back in the day. And his chosen people, Israel, are still largely apostate today. They've rejected him as the Messiah. And so we see here that Jesus felt discouraged and actually told Father God, "It's all in vain. Father, everything that you told me to do, I did. But where is the fruit? But Father, I believe that you will reward me for my labors." And here we see Father God being so gracious. He replies, "Instead of just giving you Israel, I will give you now the entire world, that you will be the salvation to the entire world." So now thank God for that, because out of that seeming failure 2,000 years ago, Jesus actually became the salvation for all of us and for the entire mankind. And so how uncanny, at the time that Jesus felt he failed, he became the salvation to all mankind. Is there a link between failure and salvation? But what is the point? I believe that failure has a purpose. We don't know the reason sometimes, and the pain can be hard to bear. But thank God, at least Jesus has saved us, and we are going to heaven. In conclusion, I would like to tell you another story, the story of Horatius Spafford. Most of you maybe have not heard of him, but he was a guy who wrote the very famous song, "It Is Well With My Soul." I'll read out the first three verses of the song, which I like it a lot. So verse 1 goes, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Verse 2, though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control. I like this part. That Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. And verse 3, I like this as well. My sin, oh the bliss of the glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. So let me just tell you the story of Horatio Spafford. So Spafford lived in the mid-1800s in the U.S. and rose to prominence and wealth as a senior partner in a Chicago law firm. In 1871, he invested in real estate in Chicago, but the Great Fire of Chicago happened that very year and destroyed a lot of his investments. 2 years later, in 1873, he wanted to bring his family on holiday to England. But due to delay, his wife and his four daughters sailed on first. So while crossing the Atlantic, the ship, the Ville du Havre, was struck by another vessel, and 226 people lost their lives, including all four of Spafford's daughters. And only his wife survived the journey, and he sent a telegram to Spafford saying, "Saved alone." And upon receiving his wife's telegram, Spafford immediately sailed on to England to bring his wife home. And whilst they were going over the location of their daughter's death, where the shipwreck happened, he penned the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." But let's know, in 1880, Horatio had another son, but then he died at 3 years old from scarlet fever. And in 1881, they were kicked out of their local church, who regarded their tragedy as divine punishment. And so they left and set up this organization called the Overcomers, which is actually a fantastic name for him. So what a resilient man. But you know, notice the emphasis of the song that I read before. Verse 2, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and shed his own blood for my soul. And verse 3, my sin not in part but the whole is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. It is well with my soul. So now I think of Horatio Spafford. He suffered so much loss in his lifetime. But yet through his sufferings and through his songs, I believe he has encouraged countless people throughout the last century and a bit. And I am convinced now that he is in heaven, every time somewhere in this world, someone you know is encouraged by a song, by a story, maybe the parent who just lost their child, the businessman lost his business, someone facing cancer, some Christian being persecuted for their faith, or maybe someone like me who is just discouraged but started to think about the song and the verses and became encouraged. In any case, I'm convinced that Spafford will be receiving a jewel in his crown every time that that happens. Or maybe he receives many crowns every time someone is encouraged by the song or by this testimony. And it'll be a lot, I'm very sure. So, my friends who are here and for those who are listening in, I would like to just encourage you with this. Indeed, life will sometimes fail. But the bottom line is we thank God that he has saved us, and we can rejoice in the Lord of our salvation. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, we don't have to turn there, but John writes, I saw a great white throne, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works. So we see here that when we go to heaven and on the great judgment day, there are going to be many books. They'll be opened, and the dead will be judged out of this book, and every evil thought, deed, action will be exposed and judged for what it is. But that applies to sinners. The point here is, as a Christian, we'll be judged out of another book, which is the book of life. And the good news is, there will not be a single judgment on our sins, because all our sins are taken away by the blood of Jesus. And so what a great day that will be for the Christian, and how grateful we will be for Jesus during that time. Who has regarded our helpless estate and shed his own blood for our souls. So as we close with the song, It Is Well With My Soul, this version was actually sung by this lady called Joey Feek. Okay, she was nominated for a Grammy this year, but sadly she passed away from cancer as well this year at the age of 40. But let us reflect just on two things. Point one, or the first thing, if you're under the sound of my voice and you do not know Jesus and your name is not written in the book of life and you want salvation, you want to receive Jesus, come talk to me or reach out to your Christian friend. Or if you're listening online, don't want to talk to, write to Solomon's Porch, Google the Sinner's Prayer and invite Jesus into your life today. Second point, we can pray for ourselves and our friends. If there's any areas in our lives where we think it's failing, ask God to teach us and to remind us to rejoice in his salvation. I just close by just reading Habakkuk 3:17-18 again. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, Though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Turn to our Saturday prayer. Let's pray for those who are undergoing cancer and recovery from cancer. Let's pray for those who do not know God, who are undergoing some form of illness. We just pray that during this time, God will reveal Himself to them through these trials, and that they can know God and accept Him as His, accept Him as their personal Savior. pray for the various members of our community who are undergoing various infirmities. Just pray for those in our community who are looking for jobs. Just pray that God will open up the doors and they will use this time wisely. Let's turn to our Saturday focus. Let's pray for the Korean Peninsula, for North Korea, for Chris and his community there. He's doing some outreach. Let's pray for the safety of his family and his ministry and his effectiveness. We pray for South Korea. We just pray for this as the church plant that we're in the process of exploring and maybe developing. Just pray that God's will be done there. Let's pray for SP 2.0, our new building, and the benefactor or the donor who will be providing us for this new building. That's the hardware. Let's also pray for the software of the church, that our hearts will all be ready, that as we even going through this series on building the foundation, I just pray that all of us at SP will have the right foundation, which is Christ, that can build upon that, and we'll also be ready for SP 2.0 and what God has in store there. Finally, let's pray for the SP weekend activities, all the activities that are happening. Just pray that it will be Holy Spirit-led and that Jesus will be glorified in all the activities. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, this morning for this time. And I just pray, God, that in the midst of our difficulties, in the midst of our troubles, God, that we will remember, God, to rejoice in the God of our salvation, that it is well with our souls. And Lord, especially, Lord, we pray for those, God, who's on the list, the EMP list, Father, those who are undergoing sickness, God, but they do not know you, Lord. It is not well, Lord, with their souls. But Lord, we know that you desire, Lord, that all men are saved and come to the knowledge, saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, to that end, we just pray, God, that you just show yourself, Lord, and have mercy, Lord, upon this people, God. And through this time, through this infirmities, God, that they will see you, Lord Jesus. That you reveal yourself to them, Lord God, I pray. That they'll come to know you as their personal Savior, Lord. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, this morning for this time, God, and just seal our prayers, Lord God. May just rise up to heaven as sweet incense, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our Savior, Lord, that you shed your blood for our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.